All right, this morning I'd like to invite you over to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6.
Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 6 reads this way. It says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, again, we come before your throne asking for your blessing here this morning in your church, Lord, amongst your people, that we might hear from you. Lord, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, and that we would hear from you. And Lord, that you would be highly exalted and glorified in our lives, empowered by your grace to be the witnesses of the grace that you've given to us. And then, Lord, if there's one in our midst, or maybe more than one, that may not have the assurance of eternal life, may you speak to them and help them to understand that they in turn also may know you as their Savior. Bless your word, bless your people, and we'll be careful to give you all the praise, for we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
The title of the message this morning is simply Demystifying Faith. Demystifying faith. We want to take out any confusion, or God does really. He wants us to know what faith is all about. You hear some people say this when you ask them about faith. Do you have faith? And they say, yeah, I have faith in my faith. What does that mean? They don't know. They don't really know. But faith, again, as you're reminded here, it's interchangeable with the word trust and how God works in our lives. And so God tells us that we must believe that he is, because in that way he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And he wants to diligently seek those who are seeking him. Now, let me ask you a question this morning to yourself. What is God's purpose in your life? Is God simply there just to benefit your life and to do things for you? Or is God to be honored and glorified because of who he is? Now, if we look, really, the truth is, God is to be honored and glorified because of who he is. He's the creator. He's not there really to help us, or we shouldn't look at him in that regard. Lord, bless my life. Lord, and yet he wants to do those things, so please don't misunderstand me here. But the approach, as you study the word of God, the approach to God is that we worship him because he is worthy, and we seek him not because of what benefits we receive, and yet they are many, but because we want to honor God who is worthy, and in turn, God blesses and benefits our lives many times over. He gives us a peace that passes understanding. He fulfills our life with joy unspeakable and full of glory, brings contentment that the world will never know, brings joy that the world will never know without him. And yet, also, if we're not careful, as God's people, if we think the Lord is just there to make things right in my life, and we don't give anything and turn back to the Lord, we're going to miss the relationship, the right relationship that God wants us to have. And listen, it's not a selfish thing. That's the natural flesh that would say that. Well, why shouldn't God do something for me? Well, the truth is, we ought to honor and glorify him because he created us, and because he saved us, and because we have a future in the Lord. And so as we consider our approach to the Lord, may it be because he is worthy of everything I have, everything I am. In fact, I am what I am, as Paul said, by the grace of God, beginning with the creation, our existence, and then, of course, eternal life. So I'm just going to look at two simple things here this morning, two simple thoughts concerning demystifying faith. First, we're going to look at examples of faith, and then we're going to notice this vision from a distance that we'll take note of here. So I want to back you up to verse 7 here, and we want to consider these examples of faith and what they were really all about. And again, remembering that our approach to the Lord is because he is truly worthy. Listen, God is worthy whether he gives us anything. And by the way, listen, God is worthy even if he didn't save us. He's worthy. Is that not true? See, we think God's worthy because of what we get. But the truth is, he is worthy. Even, listen, the soul that rejects the Lord, and it's a horrible thing, but the soul that will reject God for all eternity will still recognize and realize, and I'm convinced, you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, But that when every tongue is going to confess and when every knee is going to bow before the Lord Jesus Christ and say that He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and that He is worthy, I'm convinced it's going to be because they're going to stand in His presence and know Him for who He is, and the truth will be known and come out of everybody. There's no lying in heaven. Amen. And by the way, unfortunately for them, they are going to realize that their condemnation will be worthy also. It will be right, it will be holy, and it will be just, because we will understand the truth like never before, and we will understand God's judgments like never before when we stand in His presence. So I just want to look at a couple of these examples here and realize what faith is all about, and we want to take out any mystery concerning, we want to demystify anything that's misunderstood concerning the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ or in our God and in our Savior. Look at verse 7. Notice this. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of the things not seen as yet. Now, so listen. There was a warning that God had given to Noah that opened up his understanding to something that was not even seen yet. Remember, listen, from up until the time of the flood, there was no rain. There was no rain. And up until the time of the flood, basically there was a mist that came down from heaven. If you'll remember, there was waters that were above out in space there that created a canopy, or we would call it a terrarium effect, that watered, mist the ground, and so allowed things to grow until the judgment fell and God opened up the windows of heaven and the water came down and the rains came down and destroyed the world that rejected God Himself. And so we realize here, verse 7 says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of those things not seen as yet, moved with fear. So, listen, this was something. Noah didn't just say, you know what, I'm going to follow God. You know, I think that's what I believe in God. A lot of people, there are more people brave today. When I say brave, really it's ignorance, right? To say, I don't believe in God. I'm an atheist or I'm an agnostic. That's really quite foolish when you consider our creation and the world in which we live in. Nothing makes itself, okay? And so when we look at this here in verse 7, it says, by faith or by trust, God was doing a work to instill this in the heart and mind of Noah. And as we move toward the Lord, by the way, listen, I believed in God, and I would dare say all of my friends who till this day, and I've witnessed to them, still have never made a profession in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we were growing up, they would say, I believe in God also. In fact, listen, faith is equated with what word? Remember what I've been sharing with you? Faith is equated with trust, right? You know, it's an amazing thing that we've got something written on our dollar bills till today yet, right? Maybe they'll take it away one day, but right now it's still there. And what does that say? In God? Isn't that amazing? The declaration that we have made as the America, as the United States of America, and for people to say, oh, America's a secular nation, that's a bunch of hogwash, amen? If you look at the founding of our nations, you will find that it was built upon faith in the Lord Jesus Christ specifically. We call it the Judeo-Christian religion, right, or faith. And that is because it did start with the Jew first, amen? And then it opened up to the Gentiles and the whole world, and God revealed His Messiah, which is the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, or Christ, the Anointed One, is what Christ is. Christ is not His last name. Christ is defining who He is. He is the Anointed of God, the Son of God, and we thank the Lord for that. And so here, God moved in the heart of Noah and warned him, and warned him in such a way that he put his trust in what God said, and he moved with fear, respect. Listen, it took God to open up Noah's eyes. It will take God. Listen, please, Lord, a good prayer. Open up my eyes, because I don't know how to come in or go out. We think we know how to come in and go out. Solomon, the man that had the greatest amount of wisdom, was very wise, I believe, moved by the Lord. When God said, I'll give you whatever you want, he said, Lord, give me wisdom, because I don't know how to come and I don't know how to go. Now, I dare say, being raised in the king's house, he knew how to do some things. And by the way, he could have done some things and could have never asked God for that, and he would have missed out on a relationship with the Lord. Now, yes, he strayed, and yes, he did some things that were not right, but boy, oh boy, at the end of the conclusion of his life, that was not the example when he veered away from the Lord, but the conclusion of his life, he revealed that there's no greater thing to do than to fear God and to know him and to walk with the Lord all the days of our life. So he understood that at the end. We don't have to follow the path where he veered. Nobody wants to go astray, but praise God for his grace that brought him back. So here's Noah. And you got to remember, listen, this looked really ignorant in the eyes of the world when Noah began to build this boat, this ark, that was huge, right? And if you can look it up, they think they have found it, and that you can see the outlines, and there's rivets there, and all these different kinds of things. There's lodestones that were these big stones around it that they used to stabilize the boat, right? These big old boulders with holes through them, and you can see rope marks that had gone through them, and some atheist, so-called archaeologist said, isn't that ridiculous? Isn't that dumb? Doesn't he know that if you have all those lodestones around the ark, that boat is going nowhere? And a creationist said to him, in I believe the wisdom of God, pray tell, where was he going? Where was he trying to go? He was just trying to stay up above the water. And then God was going to guide the boat. And so man left to himself reveals really his ignorance. And so we need the Lord really to understand things from his perspective, or we're going to miss out on a lot of things. And so here's Noah moved, being warned of the Lord concerning things that have not been seen as at that point in his life, moved with fear, prepared the ark to the saving of his house. And we would be wise to do the same and stand up for the truth in spite of the world. Notice this, when he did what God said, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith or trust. Listen, when you and I stand up for what God says is the truth, we are going to condemn the world. God made man and women. Let's try that again. God, we're afraid to say this. God made man and women. We just condemned the world because the world says, oh no, you've got all these other whatever pronouns, right? And listen, that is a fiction in their minds. I'm not trying to be unkind, but the truth is, listen, we are either moved with fear concerning the truth or we're going to buckle to the world. And listen, That is what that reveals is I'm more concerned about what the world might say than what God has written down in his word. And God says that is not the way to live life. You have to have, will you have opposition in the world? Let's try that again. Will we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ have opposition in the world? Why? There you go. And the world hated our Savior. And if it hated our Savior, who else is it going to hate? Ourselves as well. Now listen, that's not our badge of honor. That's just the way it is. And we still, listen, by the grace of God and the love of God, we want to bring as many people out of the kingdom of darkness, which is the kingdom of this world, into the kingdom of light. By the grace of God. We are not mad at those who reject the Lord. They're blinded like we were before God gave us sight, before God opened up our hearts and minds to have the same understanding that God gave to Noah that would move us with fear concerning what God said in spite of the opposition of what the world is saying. And so we need to be, listen, these are examples of faith. So what does that mean? Let's demystify faith. It's not some mystical thing. We either trust what God has said, and if we don't trust what God has said, we are either here for his honor and glory or for ourselves. That's it. You can say you're here for something else, but it will have ultimately with those two things. It's so simple. We are either here for God or we are here for ourselves. Well, I like to do this for others and this, that, and the other. It's still self if it's not God. So it's the bottom line. It's the lie that started in the very beginning when the devil told Eve, you be God. You can be God. That's what he was telling her. If you study it, if you look at it in a nutshell, he was telling her to reject Almighty God and you become your own God. You can know all the things that God knows. Is that the craziest thing you ever heard? But that's the lie we buy into without the Lord. So here's the bottom line. Listen, what is our purpose? What is your purpose? What is our purpose as the children of God? If it's not to honor and glorify the Lord, it will be about us and what God can do for us. And we won't see in the midst of things. Listen, God wants to prove us in every area of our life. Listen, as to who we're really trusting in. When we get angry or upset, pray tell, who's on the throne? That's it. We are. Because listen, do you really believe that God works out all things for my good? Then you'll walk in that peace, even when it doesn't go our way. And by the way, just in case you wondered, it is a learned thing. You don't just get it at the point of salvation. You've got to learn it. How do you learn it? By trusting the Lord and asking him for help. And not being shook up. Now listen, I told you a little story about me getting all worried about that stem valve in my bathtub. Can I tell on my son today? he's got a nice G-Shock watch that he likes. And it was a little wet out there. And he was taking care of the chickens out there. And he came in and he said, man, Dad, look at, he had mud all the way down his leg. He wiped out, all right? He wasn't even running. He said, my legs just went out from under me. And then he went looking for his watch. He said, oh, I must have not put it on today. And this was yesterday, right? So he went, and this was towards the evening. He was putting the chickens up for the evening. And so he went in his room, figured he left his watch in his room. Guess what? The watch wasn't there. So he said, could I have had it on? And so he walked out. Do you know that God will work even in spite of Amazon? You know why? Because, listen, it's so convenient, isn't it, Amazon? It's so convenient. And it'll be here in 2 days, right? So here we go. He goes out there and finds his watch in parts out there. But he couldn't find the buckle part. So, and he found the pin of all things. So he said, I said, now listen, it's easy to have faith when it's somebody else. Amen? Son, it's all right. God's in control. Now listen, something gets upside down in my life. I know, listen, that's a battle to let God have it, right? But I said, it could be that God is trying to teach you something. I saw it, listen, with that valve stem, after it was all fixed, I saw God was just working on me to trust him. He's got the whole thing in his hand. So anyway, I felt bad for my son. I think we were having dinner or whatever. I could tell he was anxious. He wanted to get this thing fixed and not terribly anxious, all right? But anyway, I said, okay, we'll go ahead and look it up. Sure enough, they had the little part to order on Amazon. And was it last night or this morning? This morning. He wiped out, his legs went out from under him on one side of the chicken coop, and it was on, and he was just walking because he runs the birds out to these tractors, and he found that buckle just sitting there. He came back in, he said, look, Dad, can we cancel that order? I said, absolutely, we can cancel that order. And I just said, now listen, I'm not rebuking you, and you're not in trouble, because we think that way, don't we? But didn't God have it in his hands the whole time? Listen, we can look back. They say hindsight is 20/20, and we can see that. But let's learn from those things as we look back on them. But if I would have never told him, if I would have never pointed him towards the Lord's in control in this, this is, God's not forgotten us. God's not left this out. All right, and it's an easy thing to do, but that's where God wants to bring us to where everything that we experience, we know that, and we won't get bent out of shape and lose our testimony in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because when God's people are complaining, that's showing no faith at all, no trust. It's all out of sorts. And where's God? That's what the world would say. Well, where's your God? Why are you acting? Where's your God? Well, he's still on the throne. Praise God. We may just have our eyesight off of him at the moment, and we're sinking when God wants us to walk to him. Amen? On the water. In other words, in his strength. Lord, remember what Peter said? Here's one thing Peter knew when he wanted to walk on the water toward the Lord. One thing he knew, that he could not get out of that boat until the Lord called him to come. He knew he needed the Lord. And by the way, when he got out of the, because the Lord did call him, okay, come, did he walk on the water? For a little while he walked on the water. Where did the problem come for Peter? He got his eyes on the waves, didn't he? He took his eyes off the Lord. And you and I will do the same thing. We'll begin to sink. Listen, I know when God brings me through a difficulty and a trial that I was fretting about, and I want you to know, I still struggle with that, but I am learning more and more that it is all right. And listen, I think we'll learn that all the way till the end of life, that God, and become more solidified in that truth, that He is on the throne and that we can enjoy the peace that passes understanding, that He does really hold us in His hands. God wants us to walk that way. But my goodness, listen, the world is watching, but more importantly, God is. We want to honor and glorify Him. What we're saying is, God, I don't believe You, that You've got me in Your hands and that You hold. That's what we're saying. And so this is demystifying faith. He moved with fear. Again, question, who gave Noah that fear? God did. He didn't come up with it on Himself, and we won't either. Ready? Now watch this. Not only, these are examples of faith. So he moved with fear, and then we find that they were looking for a city of God, which takes trusting in the Lord, that was made real to them without physical sight. So this city of God was revealed to Abraham. It was made real, and they had never seen it before. Look at verse 8. By faith. What other word do we interchange that with? Okay, by faith. By trusting God, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance. He wasn't going to receive it on that side. He was going to receive the promise of his son. But he didn't come into the whole fruition of all the blessings of God until he stood before the Lord. But this was something that he did not see. And so when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. Going, not knowing. Amen? He went and he didn't even know. Nobody just does that. God had to give him something to give him that kind of confidence. Did he struggle along the way? Yes, he did. And you and I will too, but that's okay. May we keep our eyes on the Lord. By faith, verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was looking for something that he didn't come into completely until after he came into the promised land that God called him to. But the city of God, he didn't step into until he left this life. Amen? The kingdom of God that was there in the presence of the Lord, he got to see firsthand, all right, after this life. And so that's what God brings us to and solidifies in our hearts and minds. And then next I want you to take notice of this, that we can judge God faithful, or we could judge him trustworthy of his promises. See, listen, we trust, we judge him faithful. That means he's going to fulfill his promises. Is that true? We judge him trustworthy. So did he say, I hold you in my hand? Did he say, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee? When is that going to be the reality? Is it when the sun is shining? No. It's in trials. It's in trials. That's why Paul said we glory in those things, because it's then that we experience, as we put our trust in him at that moment. See? See, we confuse trust for salvation. That's done. That's done. You never have to go back there again. It's done. But trust or faith or trust in our God for his daily provisions. And what, listen, the greatest provision that God gives to us of it, greater than any value, is his peace and his joy. And the hope of the life to come in him. And that he holds us in his hands. All right, so look at verse 12. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead. That's him, that's Abraham. So many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore. Isn't that amazing? And so We see here, these are examples of faith or trust in the Lord that bring fruit. Now, here's the truth. Ready? Listen, please. Yep, I'm going to put my faith or my trust in the Lord for all these things. Ask Him to give it to you. You're going to do better if you ask Him to give it to you. If you realize this, Lord, I need You, because if not, I'm going to be fretting that I can't fix this bathtub leak. All right? I did. And I'm going to think, I'm never going to find, of all things, by the way, I want to tell you again, when he lost that watch band buckle, it was not where he fell. That thing must have flown. He says, I don't know how it did that. How do you think it did that? What do you think that was all about? You could say, oh, it's just mere chance. Hogwash. I don't believe in chance. I believe in God. And I believe in the God who said, I do all things well, and I hold you in my hand, and I am in control of how much? Everything. Amen. Who gave you that just now? See? Because sometimes, listen, and me too, just in case you wondered, sometimes we don't feel that way. Isn't that true? I don't always feel like I'm in his hands. But does the feeling change the facts? It doesn't change the facts, right? We've got a lot of problems today with the way people feel. You make me feel that, well, listen, I'm sorry, but if they're not factual, your feelings are misleading you. If they're not factual, and if we go by feelings, we are going to be headed for destruction. As a child of God, we cannot do that. Look, my goodness, do you want to go where the world is going? They're going towards destruction. Isn't that what the Bible says? All right, last thought. Ready? Vision from a distance. This is good. All right? This is what God wants to give you and I, a vision from a distance. In other words, listen, all the promises are yet to be fulfilled, but God wants to give us a vision of the truth right here before we see Him face to face. So notice verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them where? Afar off. That's at a distance, isn't it? They got the truth and saw it, not right there. They saw it from a distance. God said these things to them. He said, this is what I'm going to do for you. And God allowed them to see it. They didn't just say, well, that makes perfect sense to me. So therefore, listen, this is not an academic book. This is a spiritual book. You can't approach it like that. You have to realize that all these things God wants to solidify in our lives and to allow us to see things that the world will never see looking at the same book. Because you and I are indwelt with the Holy Spirit that will open up our understanding. I need God to grow in His faith and the grace that He's given to me, or I'm going to be left to myself and I'm going to say what I said most of my saved life. I can't do that. I'm going to try again. I'm going to rededicate my life, and I'm going to, because I love the Lord, because of what He's given me, and I'll fail until I say, Lord, I can't. But You've promised to do it. So I'm going to put my faith or my trust not in what I can do, not in what I should do, but in what God can do for me. And that is that He gives me His peace when my world is flipped upside down. And that He gives me His grace. And that He gives me His witness, that the world might see there is a God in heaven that brings those things into our lives. Listen, please don't misunderstand me. Share the gospel with the world. Share the gospel with the world. I will challenge you to hand out at least one tract every week. We are called to be His witnesses. All right. Is it frightening? Can I give you a little confession? Sometimes I am afraid to give a track. I am. You know why? I don't like rejection. Just in case you wondered, I don't like rejection. So I dropped off Gracie. I can't remember what it was, Thursday or something. I can't remember. And there's a little Aldi right there, Aldi's grocery store. I'm the first one. Doors open up at 8:30. I'm not the only first one, but there are several other first ones in there. And I picked up a couple little items. And in the morning, when I got up and met with the Lord in prayer and looked at His Word, I was convicted to tell somebody about the Lord this day. Tell somebody about the Lord. Well, you know what I did? I got to the line, and I saw this guy in his mid-20s, right? And I'm sorry. You know, I stereotype. If I see somebody that looks scary, you're going to put a little fear in me, okay? If you look like a thug, if you look like somebody that could stab me, you know, or something like that, I'm going to keep my distance, all right? It's just the way, you say, oh, there's, well, then listen, when things act like a duck, and they might be, I'm not saying they are, but they might be a duck, right? In this day and age, they might really think they are. But anyway, here it is, ready? So I walk in there, and I didn't bring any tracks with me. And I was apologetic to the Lord. He was very nice, kind, you know. I walked outside and I said, I've got tracks in the glove box. I'm going to put my groceries down, grab three tracks this time, or four tracks. Anyway, I put some few tracks in my pocket. Walked back in there, and as I walked in, there's these two doors, and he's the only register that's open. I see a lady at the register. I said, oh, he's busy now, you know. And she's walking out, and as I walked over, there was nobody there. So we had a little exchange, couple little niceties. So when I came back around, he looked at me like, did you forget something? Yeah, I did. I did forget something. And I said, and I was getting ready for him to give it. I've had them give it back to me, you know, it happens. And I said, listen, I wanted to give you an invitation to our church and also an invitation to listen to us online. He looked at me and said, you know what? I really appreciate that. Thank you for doing that. Now, I don't know what he'll ever do with that, but I walked out of there thanking and praising the Lord that he made something that I was fearful of, that he, I'm telling you, I felt convicted to go back in there and give him a track. And I had to go make a return at Sam's, and I gave the one to the lady at Sam's, and I went to another store, and I gave another track. And I was happy. Amen? I didn't have one rejection. Now, that doesn't always happen. I want you to know. But listen, I thought, Lord, you had this. I sat and praised the Lord that he just allowed it to go. We ought to stand up, because if we really trust the Lord and we really believe that God is using us to be his witnesses, go ye out therefore into all the world. Didn't he say that? He wasn't just talking to pastors and Sunday school teachers. He was talking to his church. And so listen, we've got tracts out there. Put a couple in your pocket. Be determined to just give it to one person. I promise you, you're going to go somewhere to a store. Sometime, unless you're just on Amazon. but listen, we have an opportunity to tell people by faith what the Lord is. That's how the gospel is going to go out. And listen, we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Let us be witnesses of his great grace. And let us see these promises that he's with us unto the end of the world, right? So listen to this. Verse 13, they were persuaded of the promises. Amen? They embraced the promises, and they confessed them. Look at verse 13 here. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were what? Persuaded of them, the promises, and what? Embraced them, the promises, and did what? Confessed. Who are we going to confess them to? To the world, right? And to one another, that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's what we do. Listen, And here's what I told that guy at Aldi's. Listen, here's what I told him. I forgot this until just now. I said, listen, our boat's going to sink one day. That's our lives. I told him that, our lives. I want you to know where the lifeboat is at. It's found in Jesus Christ. Amen? The lifeboat. Amen. And our track has the plan of salvation there. And he was really, since he thanked me, I got carried away. Amen? When he thanked me, I just wanted to let you know where eternal life is at. All right? Quick. Verse 14 through 16, we're done. This is the declaration of their trust in God's promises. Look at verse 14. For they that say such things, right, that they believe, they're persuaded, right, they embrace the promises, they confess the promises. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They that say, that's you and I. If we make a profession, what we're doing by allowing Christ to live through us and keep us minded on the things and to honor and glorify him, we're saying, are you looking for a country today whose builder and founder is God? Are you looking for that country God wants us to? And truly, verse 15, if they'd been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. Don't go back into the world. Don't go back into the world. But now, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them what? A city. The city of God. That's what we're looking for. Now listen. Please don't misunderstand me. We are in the world, and I think God will do things and bless us in the world. We're not of it. In other words, don't be moved like the world is. When they panic because the stock market is going down. That's the world. Is our faith in the stock market? Then you're worried. Or is my faith in my God? You see the difference? I'm going to worry about what's going on with the things of the world, or I'm going to rest in my God. So this morning, we've demystified, in God's word, we have demystified faith. There's no mystery to it. It's a trust in our God, and it's something that God wants to build in our life as we approach him on it. Now, listen, I'm going to give you the best advice. I'm going to give you the best advice on how to grow in faith or trust in your God. Here it is. Ready? Ask God to help you with it. Seriously, ask God to help you with it. And realize that he's not going to just teach you Sunday morning. You know, Sunday school and church service and Sunday. He's not just going to teach you here. The truth is, you're receiving the truth, the lesson on truth, right? It's out there that you're going to put it into practice. Amen? What good is a faith that's not tried? Don't be afraid of being tried. It's not that you're going to have a calamity. It's you're going to have a choice. You're going to choose this day who you trust. You're going to, little things, trust him in the little things. God's not going to wallop you over the head with a big one. Well, he might, but anyway, he's not going to wallop you right over there. But here's the thing, if he does and you know it's from him, he'll take you through it. He will take you through it. So listen, he wants you to grow in his grace. And why is that? Because it glorifies him. And in turn, we receive the peace of God and the joy of the Lord. And if we're not careful, we'll miss all of that. Are you a child of God? If you're saved, yes, you are. If you're born again, you're going to heaven. That will never change. But how about in the meantime, our walk with the Lord and what he wants to do? Do you know, as you study the word of God, God wants to glorify himself somewhere. Do you know where that is? God wants to glorify himself in your life and mine. And as we seek the Lord in that, he will be faithful and reveal, amen, his truth to you personally. He wants to show you things that's just for you. Amen? He wants to show me things that are just for me that will enhance my everyday walk with him. And why is that? Not because I need the blessings of God. Listen. But because he bought me with the blood of his son, and he is worthy. But he will give us everything. He'll give us the blessings, but that's not why. It's simply because he's worthy. Listen, is that not true? He is worthy whether things go the way that I would like them to go, or whether I would not, or, you know, regardless of however they go. He is still worthy. Here's the truth, really. When things don't go my way, it's my lack of understanding the mind of God. The world, do you think the world understands God? Well, if there was a God, well, there is. And what you're neglecting to realize is he gave man free will. And the reason why things are upside down is because the fallen nature of man is very self-centered. They'll tell you they want to do things for everybody else. Without God, we don't do anything but for ourselves. And even if they're benevolent, it's because it makes them feel good. It's not because they're doing it for God or for somebody else's benefit. They do it for themselves. Until God opens up our eyes and our hearts to see and receive the truth. Would you stand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning. Lord, we thank you for the truth, Lord, concerning the faith that you've given to us. And Lord, we know that you don't want it to be a mystery. We thank you for revealing what it's all about, beginning in salvation with the Lord Jesus Christ and trusting him, and then our daily walk with him. And Lord, we know that you said that if we would call upon you, that you would answer us and show us great and mighty things that we don't know. May we humbly see our great need of you to call upon you every day and to seek you and to follow you. And you've promised to reveal yourself to us that we might understand your wonderful truths. Bless your word. Bless your people. Bless those that may be here that do not have the assurance of eternal life. And we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.